be seated. Thanks, Todd. Well, you can open your Bible to the book of Proverbs. We'll be bouncing around in Proverbs, not on one particular spot, but Proverbs has a lot to say about our words. So we're going to be spending a couple of weeks here thinking about our words. How many know words are powerful? Do you think that's true? Yeah. Words can speak life. Words can speak death. Words can heal. Words can crush. I mean, they're powerful. Words can encourage somebody that's just down. And words can just discourage and bring somebody further down. If you doubt that, how many people, you don't have to raise your hands, can remember a time in school somebody said something that just cut and you still remember it? Words are powerful. I'm 57. I still remember some of those words. Nothing about. I don't know what tomorrow is. I don't know what you're talking about. I shouldn't even have brought that up. I knew somebody was going to do that. Yeah, it's my birthday tomorrow. Okay, we'll put it out there. Yeah. All right, I'll be 58. I'll give that. But yeah, you know, words, we can carry them our whole lives. Words can be powerful, both in a good way and in a bad way. So let's stand together as we read what our scriptures are going to be teaching us. We'll start here in this verse, and we'll move on to some other ones. Okay? Let's read together out of Proverbs 15. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Proverbs 15, 1 through 4. Lord, you have a lot to say about words, and words have a lot to say. We just use them in our lives, Lord. They're a big, huge part. So as we seek to do life better and learn from this wisdom of this book of Proverbs, teach us, Lord, how to speak life as you speak life. In Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. Those last couple of verses that we just read, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, right? Yeah, God's everywhere. He pays attention. And he's keeping watch on us. Whether you're one of the good or the evil, he sees and he watches. And interesting, that statement, God's watching. He's keeping an eye on everybody. Oh, next statement. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness breaks the spirit. Well, what? Where did that come from after he just said God's eyes are watching everywhere? God cares. He cares about our words, doesn't he? He cares. He sees the two directions that we can take our words in. It talks about evil and the good. Talks about gentle words, healing words, soothing words. That word means when it says a gentle tongue, healing, a healing tongue, soothing words. Or our words can be perverse. And that word just simply means we kind of have talks more, we think about perverted things as being something sexual, but it just means something that's been taken out of the context of what it was originally intended for. It's perverted. It's no longer used in the right way. And words, he's talking about words. Words can bring life, and words can be used to break the spirit, to crush someone's spirit, right? James says it in the New Testament this way, those two choices that we have. He says, with the tongue, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. That's the New Testament approach to it. It shouldn't be, right? Out of the same mouth, we see good and bad. But it's not just out of our mouths anymore, isn't it? Is it? Out of the same thumbs, right? Out of the same, you get it, thumbs? Out of the same fingers, whatever. What? How can this be? This should not be. We come up with excuses. Well, it's because of it's this, or because I'm talking about that, or because they said this. There's no excuses. The two things shouldn't be coming out of the same place. What did Jesus say? He said about out of the overflow of the heart, what? Anybody know? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's coming out of here, or here, or here, is just the overflow of your heart. You may or may not like to hear that, but that's what Jesus said. It's just an overflow, right? And Lord, give us hearts that are overflowing goodness, that are overflowing goodness. Doing life better, as we're going to be learning over the summer, how do we do life better? Means doing words better. It's going to mean doing our words differently, our tongues differently, learning how to speak life, right? Our first one in Proverbs 8:13, and I'll have them up here. If you want to flip around, you can jot them down in your faith journal. It's a good idea to be able to go back to them. But Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted or speech that is not the way it should be was intended. What does the Bible say? I hate it. God says, I hate that kind of speech. I hate it. Knowing that because words matter to the people that we speak them to, they also matter to God, right? They matter to Him. They matter to Him. And this verse talks about really what's driving perverse or crooked or words that are not being used in the way that they're supposed to. It's pride. It's arrogance. It's, I want to do things my way. I know what's right, and you don't. And so that's my excuse for being able to use words that crush, that hurt like that. Scripture tells us to hate evil words. We don't really think about that, the idea of hating what God hates. We kind of just say, we've kind of taken a whatever kind of approach to sin, to things that God doesn't like. But God, that's not the way God functions. God hates words that hurt. God hates evil words. And if God hates them, then how am I looking at the words that I use? Do I hate it when my words go there? And all of our words do. I mean, we know where this comes from? What happens when we do the old smash our thumb with our hammer, with a hammer, or whatever it is, you walk around the back of the car and you mash your shin against the hitch, the trailer hitch on the back. That hurts. And you usually are just like, you're in a hurry, bam, and you're just on the ground. That's the, what's the first thing that wants to pop out of our mouths? I won't go there. It's for some reason, it just wants to come out, doesn't it? Why? It's that flesh in us. It's that unspiritual part in us that is uncontrolled, that just wants to go blast out of our mouths. And we just have to recognize that that's where that's coming from. That's the flesh in us. That's the uncontrolled flesh in us. And there are times when it pops out. It happens. And then we say, oh, sorry, God, that's not. We say, I'm sorry, because we know we're not supposed to. God doesn't like that. It's not so much those mash your thumb type of moments. It's the somebody said something and made me mad, and now the flesh still wants to come up, right? Those are the times when God is more interested in those things. We need to learn how to hate that part of us that wants to come out and speak to people in ways that God hates, right? Speak goodness. Here's a thought. In Proverbs 10:32, this verse says, the lips, and this is about discerning what is good and acceptable, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. Now, does that mean we're only supposed to talk about church and the Bible, and we are only supposed to sing church songs, and we're only supposed to talk about God? No, that's not what that means. This is not a topical thing. Goodness is about God honoring. It's about having it's the whole, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Do we talk about God and the Bible and we worship? And of course, those are natural parts of the body, of who we are. But knowing what's acceptable, knowing what pleases God, that is just coming out of a heart that loves God. It's not so much the topics we speak on, it's the heart of love for God that we bring to whatever topic it is or whatever situation it is we're talking about. That is how we know what's acceptable. It's our love for God that drives what comes out of our mouths. It's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks, right? And so we learn to discern, and I guess there's two different ways. We learn to discern what's acceptable before God first. How are we going to please God? Now, there's some obvious things. One of the Ten Commandments, don't use the Lord's name in vain. Okay, so don't say, oh my God, unless you're saying, oh my God, I need you, right? Using the Lord's name in vain is simply using it in a way where you don't really mean what you say. You know, people sing it in songs, you know. If you're just using it as a word that fills and you're not actually speaking to God, then you're not using that, the Lord's name, right? Cussing, using crude language, does that please God? No, I mean, those are the kind of the obvious things. Hateful words. I mean, this is where I bring up the whole Facebook, Twitter thing. People think that somehow they get a pass because of where they are or what they're talking about or where they're saying it. There is no excuse for hateful, hurtful, unkind words. I don't care where it's being said or typed or whatever. We have to honor God and use words in those situations that are words of blessing, words of encouragement, words of truth, words of love, words that are prayerful, words that help other people. These are the things that God is pleased with, right? So we have to say, Lord, how do I discern what is acceptable to God? A lot of the times we already know, we've just taken the mindset of, God doesn't really care. When guess what our scripture teaches us? Does he care? How much? He hates it. He hates it. Right? For some reason that the Grinch Stole Christmas came into my mind, where Jim Carrey's got the phone book. I loathe, I hate, and he's going down the list of these people that hate. He hates these people. Well, I don't know what that has to do with this, aside from we're supposed to hate and just, we don't want to use words that God hates, right? So why do we say, it's not that big of a deal? To God, it's a big deal. To God, it's a big deal. But when we speak unity, and grace, we want to do this in such a way that we're not speaking division and gossip, right? Proverbs 17:19 says, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Whoever covers an offense seeks love. This is how we learn to say, how do I speak life before others? Right? How do I learn how to relate better? This is a skill. This is something you can get better at. That's good news, right? It's not just for certain people. We can learn how to speak goodness, to speak life better. It's something you can work at, and a year from now say, I do a lot better in that than I used to. Isn't that good news? It's just not for certain personalities. It's something God can change in you, you know? And you learn how to relate better. You learn how to communicate better. You can learn how to be more, did you ever hear the word winsome? You don't hear that very often. To be winsome. That's when you interact with people, it's pleasant for them. They enjoy talking to you. And when you leave, they're like, huh. They're happy. How what's the footprint that you leave behind you? Right? Become somebody who speaks grace and unity. Sometimes you cover over sin out of love, right? Grace is that concept of undeserved love. A lot of times we have to love people that don't really deserve it. Oh, there was a saying, and I didn't put it in here. It talked about being able to make someone feel welcomed even when you wish they weren't there. Okay, don't raise your hands, but how many people have been in those situations where you're like, I wish this person would leave. But what do? You be nice anyway. You treat them with grace. That's a picture of grace. This person is not, they're hard to love, and we love them anyway. Aren't you glad you're hard to love and God loved you anyway? Isn't that good news? I'm glad. That's being winsome. That's being creating goodwill and favor between. And that's not just through strangers and cashiers and people. That's right in your own home, in your neighborhood, in your marriage, with your kids, being winsome, showing grace. And that's talking about resolving problems. Looking at the relationship, we've talked about this as being bigger than the problem, rather than the problem being bigger than the relationship. You look at what could be. You look at what could be. If we would resolve this, if we could work this out, right? Sometimes, I know our verse talks about whoever covers an offense. Does that mean we don't deal with offenses? Does it mean we're just not going to, oh, somebody hurt my feelings and I'm just going to be mad at them, or I'm just going to forget about it and I'm not going to deal with it? That's not what this is talking about. Scripture clearly teaches, Matthew 18 says, you know what, if someone has sinned against you, go. Go to them. I try to work it out, right? If it can't work it out, bring somebody with you. Seek to resolve those issues. If somebody has hurt you, we strive to work through things. Or if you've done something to hurt somebody else, Jesus said, you go to worship and you remember somebody's got something against you because of what you've done. He says, leave your gift at the altar. Go make it right with that person, and then come back and you can worship with a heart that's free of the issue, of the guilt, right? So we're called to deal with our issues. And I don't know if in that little moment there that God might have put somebody in particular on your mind that when that person's face or name comes up, you're like, ugh. Yeah, we're uncomfortable around each other, or there's something. God says, speak life, okay? We're learning how to go and speak life to that situation. And sometimes grace says, I'm not gonna go and push the issue. I'm gonna heal the relationship as we fix the issue, right? 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, what does that mean, above all, right? Keep loving one another earnestly, deeply, since love covers a multitude of sins, right? Desire healing, desire resolution. That's what God desires for us. Don't desire to be right. Desire to resolve the situation and find out what's right together, right? And, you know, this, it kind of moves towards this, what sometimes happens. Our desire should be to cover over problems rather than proclaim them, right? To tell all. This next verse, ever heard this is an interesting proverb, especially since I was just camping. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, right? And where there is no whisper, quarreling ceases. I had to go buy wood on our last night camping because we probably would have run out. Sometimes this scripture talks about what keeps the fire going in conflict is the whisper. It's the one who talks about things and keeps them going and keeps the fire stoked, right? The gossiper or the whisperer keeps repeating the thing, keeps refocusing on the thing, whatever that thing is. It's talking about somebody that can't let it go. And this verse says they become a divider, they separate. What was once close friends, all of us, they've come in and divided something that was there. Rather than seeking to heal it, they've created division. And rather than covering over and resolving it, more important on the relationship than the problem, they are focusing on the problem and repeating it rather than resolving it, right? That's the difference between going to that person and saying, I feel like there's something that we have an issue, there's something going on that we need to talk about. This happened or that happened, or I just feel like there's something going on that we need to talk about. That's covering over the offense, working on the relationship, and then the offense, right? Whispering is telling others instead of the one you have the problem with. That's the difference. So when somebody comes and says, blank said or did this, you know what your first response is? Did you talk to them? If the answer is, well, no, I haven't talked to them, then you say, you need to go talk to them, not to me. And you stop the conversation right then and there. You need to go talk to them and work that out, right? No whispering, no talking about it without the other person knowing. You're not stoking the fire. And hopefully that fire gets put out when the person goes back and says, we need to work this out, right? So that means the, well, I'm just saying statements, right? Well, I'm just saying that. Well, that's just another way of being able to whisper, right? Or I don't mean to gossip, right? But I'm going to gossip anyway, right? That's pretty much what they're saying. I don't mean to gossip, but I'm going to gossip. How about just between you and me? You know right then and there, there's probably something wrong with this conversation. So the antenna need to be up, and you may need to say, it should be just between you and the person, right? So don't bring me or anybody else into this until you've gone and talked to that person, right? Or, this is a very spiritual sounding one. I have a prayer request. somebody needs prayer because blah, blah, blah. Well, you didn't get the idea. And if the person says, well, I'm not going to go talk to them about it, you know what you can do? Offer to go with them. You know, you really need to. I mean, I'll go with you if it'll help you to get this worked out. I'd be happy to just kind of come along and be a support. If they're like, nope, I don't want to talk about it, I don't want to deal with it, and say, well, then I can't talk to you about it. I can't. Until you deal with the person, you're not going to work it out, and I don't want to keep the fire going, right? So, speak unity. Speak grace. Don't speak division. Don't speak gossip. That stuff only leads to dry and barren, broken relationships. Unity, grace, that speaks life. That speaks life. So last verse here, Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Just a simple truth. Just a simple truth about speaking life. We all know, look around, it's all over politics and social media and blah, blah, blah. Words can destroy. Everybody likes to get their gotcha in there. Ha! You know, they got the last word, but that doesn't help. That's not helping people. That's not healing. That's ruining. That's dividing. That's crushing spirits, as some of our verses talked about. That's what weighs a person down. We leave that footprint, and people are carrying around what we've dumped on them, right? And that's not what we're called to do. What is God's attitude towards that? He hates it. Yeah, that's right. Good. He hates it. It's not just that it's like, I really wish you wouldn't do that. No, this is God Almighty saying, I hate that. I hate it when you treat people like that. You don't see what your words do to that person. You don't watch them carry your words around for the next 3 weeks, being weighed down and hurt and wounded by it. I do, God says. I see the results of the pain that you've caused. I hate that. That's how God looks at it. What I want you to do is speak words of life like I have spoken words of life to you, words that encourage, words that lift up somebody's spirit. When you leave, somebody should be feeling better than when you came, right? Words that bind up the wounded. and the brokenhearted. Words that speak truth, but always with love. Truth with love. Lord, teach us how to turn division into reunion and healing and restoration and redemption. Help us to learn how to use our words to turn anger and bitterness into forgiveness and hope and joy and peace. And you know, there's missed moments that we can lose that are right there in the everyday nitty-gritty of life, right in our homes, right with our families, right with our marriages, right in with our kids and our parents, right with our neighbors and coworkers. Boy, we've all heard stories about that person that somebody was kind to them when they were at the end of their rope and ready to just give up on life. I mean, literally, I've heard people that have said they were ready to end their lives. And somebody took the time to say, "You matter. You matter." Words can speak such powerful hope and help to people. Thinking about Rockin' Resources that's coming up, you know, for people that are struggling with opioids and addictions. And the whole point of that is to give them hope. People that don't have hope, Darren and Cheryl are working on something that will help people to be pointed towards hope, where without it, they had no hope, you know? So this word says, there's another verse I was going to use that talks about being a tree of life. Words that could be a tree of life. Let you be a tree of life where your shade covers people. Remember, Scripture, love covers a multitude of sins. Let it bring relief. Let it bring shelter. Let it make somebody glad. I mean, you're sitting out in the sun, and I'll tell you what, when you get into the shade, it feels good. Let your life be a covering of life to people. Hope. Let the fruits of your life bring hope and love and relationship. And God wants to do that. He wants to do that. Now, if I could just give one last reminder. I've given you words that have taught you about how to change, how our words can be different. How many people are able to make that change in themselves? We can't do it ourselves. No matter what I teach you about how to treat people, how to love people, how to live your lives, no matter what information I teach you, you can't do that without the Spirit of God in you changing you. Without Jesus, you're going to try and fail. So recognize that while this is all wonderful truth, that if we live it out, it's going to change our lives and it's going to change the lives of people around us. But recognize, you can't do it. Only Christ in you can do it. And you know what? He wants to do it. He wants to do it. Lord, as we just close this time, Lord, if you have laid upon our hearts, we're all, boy, there's 100 people here with a different story, who've had a different week, we've had a different year, we're all struggling with different things, Lord, today. I pray, Father God, that you'd help us to turn our hearts to you and say, Lord, would you change me? Would you give me words of life? Would you change my heart so that I start to love the things that you love and hate the things that you hate? And through your power, God, do that life change in me. Lord, we know you're able. I pray that you'd search each heart, Lord God. There will be those here that you put a name and a face in their minds, and they realize, I've been avoiding this and this person, and I need to speak life into this. I need to go and cover the sin and focus on restoring the relationship. Lord, there's some that are recognizing, my words have been toxic. My words have been words that tear down rather than build up. And it's too easy for my temper or the situation to drive me to go right back into my flesh instead of my spirit. And I need you to change me, God, that my words would be words that speak life. I pray, Father, that each and every person, each and every situation here today, that they would recognize the hope that there is a God who loves them and has every desire and intention to be able to come and change them right now from the inside out. Tomorrow, the day after, next week, Lord, you will continue to do that transforming work in their hearts, Lord. Give them that hope, Lord God, that in you there is transformation. So thank you. Thank you, Lord, for that. Bless us as we go today. Thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for how it's going to not only change our lives, but the lives of the people that we speak life to. And we're just so grateful. Thank you, Lord, for blessing our bake sale, Lord. May it just raise tons of money. May we hopefully not get any fatter from it. And we will just enjoy the hard work that's been put into all of this. We love you so much today for your goodness. Bless us as we go today in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Go shopping for something delicious.